that you help us enter worship. And I just want to encourage anyone that was maybe like me this morning and woke up with attitude and was not the nicest. I pray that the Lord can help us just get over that. I thank you, Lord, that you are so loving and gentle with us, that even when we tend to be a little bit of meanies, you still have grace for us. So, Father, help us to learn quicker. Help us to overcome our flesh. It seems like so often we want to listen to our flesh when our flesh literally will only lead us in the wrong direction with everything. So, Father, help our flesh be quiet. Help our spirit to be so loud and just permeate just everywhere, Lord God. But with worship this morning, Lord God, help us to truly just to praise you, Father. Pray, Lord, and help us to lay things down, Lord. Anything that's getting in the way of us just knowing you more, Father. I know our number one obstacle, Lord God, is ourselves, Lord. I pray, Father, that you help us realize the things that we need to change in us, Lord. I pray that we don't walk around blaming things on everybody else, Lord. I know that a lot of us have been hurt. And there are some things that we had no control of. But Father, I pray, Lord, that right now, walking with you, the things that we can control, Father, we can move on. Help us have complete freedom, Father. Spirit to come inside of us. We're his church. And to kind of give you an idea of that, and myself, you know, it's kind of like we wouldn't come in here and we wouldn't start using really, really bad language, right? We wouldn't come in here and have a party. We wouldn't come in here and, you know, start, you know, kissing a bunch of people. To put it, I mean, there's so many things that we're in church. It's kind of like when we're in church, we're separate, we're different people. We shouldn't be. That's my whole point. We are the sanctuary. So how we are here in the Lord's sanctuary is how we should be outside of the church. And because we are walking with Jesus 24/7, we've allowed him to come inside of us. So that's what being that sanctuary means. So Father, I just pray, Lord, help us all, Lord God, whether we have just, this is brand new to us and we're eating this up and we're learning it and that's a really neat new concept, Father, or whether it's been about 30 years and, oh man, we've heard this a billion times, you know, but I am the way I am. Father, help us all to be new little babies, new children. Father, help us to want to learn from you and just never think that we know it all, Lord God, because once we know it all, we can't learn anything. We're done. Father, help us never to be done and always willing to have you speak to us, Lord.
Thank you.
Seem so holier, so much perfect than anyone else, Lord God, but set apart so that we can be a testimony of even the people that have known us, Lord God. They can say, wow, I used to know you by this way, but wow, you've changed. How can I change? How can I have what you have? Father, help us just to have joy in every situation, Lord God. Even if we're not happy with what we're going through, we can say, my eyes are on the Lord. I know he's going to take care of the situation. Father, help me not to be anxious. And that is going to be a testimony, Lord God. And I just praise you right now, just for the things that for the praise report, even with Kelly, Lord God. I wasn't here the day that she had shared that, Father, but I just remember coming to her every Sunday and giving her a hug, asking her how she was doing. Father, here's a woman that kept her eyes just literally on you, Lord God. I just praise you for that, Father. And what a testimony and what faithfulness, Lord God. And I just know there's so many more stories out there like that right now, Lord, but that's just on my heart, and I just want to praise you for that, Lord, and help that to encourage others too, Father. We give you this day, Lord. Help us once again just to have soft hearts and open ears, Lord God. Amen.
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 Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas to you. Don't let them take Christ out of Christmas.
No.
Just a reminder for us. Hey, can I ask you one thing? There was a bunch of papers. Maybe you left them in the computer.
I did.
Okay. Thank you. We have a couple things to go over this morning during announcements, and then we're going to show you a short video and get a little bit further ahead in the Word. We'll have a little bit of time in the Word. What's left over? And so let's go through some of the announcements first, and then we'll go forward from there. All right. Turn this thing on. Make sure I don't forget everything. If I forget something, you guys can shout it out. But, the Lord's... First, I just want to encourage everybody. I know that during this time, there's a lot of added pressure. I don't know what it is. If it's the world, the stress, the end of the year, the enemy... Do you know
Hallmark
what I mean?
Movies.
Maybe you're feeling it. What?
Hallmark movies.
Hallmark movies. Oh, yes. Wait, if you're a guy.
I agree.
So, but the bottom line is there's a lot of extra pressure, right? And the world is just trying to just crush it in, isn't it? And so as the world is crushing in, I just want to encourage you because we can get so frustrated, angry, vent, just... Cast your burdens on him because he cares for you. Trust in the Lord. Run to him. He's your refuge. He's your strength. He's your ever-present help in times of trouble. Remember to fix your eyes on him. It's not about even the season or the gifts or the whatever. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's about Jesus. So don't lose sight of him in the midst of all the other financial chaos. The bills are coming. You're trying to get... Jesus, you know, I'm almost just like ready. Jesus, just take me. I'm ready to go. And Jesus is like, yeah, but I'm not ready for you to go. So keep working. Keep serving. Keep loving. Keep encouraging. Keep doing. Get your eyes off of yourself, your problems, your situations, your circumstances, and put it on me. And then I want you, as your eyes are on me, to serve other people in my name. That's what he wants you to do. And so I want to encourage you to do that this morning. So, okay. So the Lord also put something weird on my heart too, which I've never done this, but For those of you who don't know, if you're looking for a Christian radio station, right now it's it's playing a lot of Christmas music, which a lot of stations are. But there are two Christian radio stations. I just think that everybody knows this. But if you don't know, normally during the year there's a lot of good Christian music. If you can listen to music that honors the Lord instead of dishonoring, why wouldn't you be listening to that? So 88.1, the Joy FM, is a great Christian radio station. Also Moody 104.3, they got good music. They got Bible teaching, talk shows. These are just some things to help you grow during the week. So I wanted to mention that to you. Check it out. 88.1, try it. And 104.3, Moody Radio, try it. And you'll be encouraged. We have a little bit of free Panera bread, so we want to give that as a gift in Jesus' name. You already know that. You take tithes and offerings in the back in the little bird box. Thank you for your giving. We appreciate all that you do. Again, the Star movie is in the theaters. One of my kids saw it, said it was really good. So I just want to encourage you, if you haven't seen that yet, to go do that. And so we also have stuff to give away. If there's anybody else who's interested in any of these things, we've given so much stuff away. If there's anybody else who wanted one of these New Testament Time with Gods, it's basically a devotional going through the entire New Testament. Folks haven't even read the New Testament themselves, a lot of Christians, and this is a nice daily devotional that'll help you to do that with a little saying from Billy Graham or Beth Moore or something like that in it. You'll be able to read through the New Testament year, and then also has some Old Testament corresponding scriptures. So, does anybody else want one? We keep running out whenever we give these away. Does anybody else want one free in Jesus' name?
Can I give one for somebody?
Well, no, but I will let you do it this time. Yes, ma'am.
She says she really needs it.
You got it. Okay. So our goal is to encourage and equip you, and if you want to learn and grow, we want to be there to teach you and to help you grow. Also, if you're struggling with how good is good enough,
that's great.
If anybody wants just a little book, if you're struggling with, kind of religion, you have to be perfect to be a Christian, just want to give you this free book if anybody is interested in it. Okay? You do not.
Thank you. It's an awesome book.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, you're telling me this one. Now, really quickly, this is a book on brokenness, surrender, and holiness by Nancy D. LaMoss. This is no pansy book, okay? This is a deep book, okay? It's a good book, but if anybody feels led and is wanting to grow, okay, this is this is just a deeper book. If you would like it, receive it as a gift in Jesus' name, okay? And then I want to bring the mic to two people real quickly. Hezekiah, would you bring the mic to Hezekiah? And I'm also going to bring the mic to Josh next. Would you mind, you mentioned the other day that you were reading that New Testament, The Time with God. I still have one left. So you were saying that you were reading this, is that correct, as a devotional?
I think it was a smaller one.
Yes, it was a small one, but it's the same one. Yeah. Could you just hold the mic up to your mouth and just tell, is it helping you, is it not? Just make sure you hold it up to your mouth.
I found that the book is really nice because it kept me reading the Word instead of, we can kind of get lazy with it, I'll do it tomorrow, and then tomorrow never, you don't do it tomorrow. So it's helping me read the Word, and it's also really encouraging because it's always a little bit of, like an analysis of the scripture afterwards, and that's always been really encouraging. So,
okay, thank you. All right, good. Now, you also run the mic. I have one more book. This is a shepherd's look at Psalm 23. This is the psalm read by a person. So, Josh, if you wouldn't mind sharing one set. Now, again, we just don't want to give away books to give away books. We don't have a lot of cash, but we want you to grow. So, if you take one of these, make sure that you read them. Josh, would you mind just sharing? Have you found it helpful or not? And if not, then
I did. I think it's a really well written book. Especially showing how the Lord, when we give Him our life, when we surrender to Him, and He becomes our shepherd, our manager. He's the good shepherd. The book really goes into detail what it means to allow him to lead us to, as it says, still waters, into those deep valleys, what it really kind of means under, obviously, Old Testament shepherd perspective, but also with the modern Christian and how it can be applied. So I just think it's a really awesome, just a really good book. You know, it's hard to kind of put it all in a nutshell, but, you know, if you are a believer, you follow Jesus, and, you know, and you want him to be your Lord, your Savior, you know, my shepherd, you know, it's definitely a cool eye-opener, you know, what that kind of means as, you know, us like lost sheep going to him, you know, so we can listen to his still small voice to and let him lead us, not with a whip or not to try to drive us, but with that gentleness so we don't go astray.
That's awesome. Thanks. Well, that was good. Okay. Would anybody like one of these books? Okay. I'm going to toss it to you. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Got another one?
You.
Okay, Saint Victor. I will get you one. Will you remind me after service?
Okay.
Good catch. Okay, all right, so we just wanted to give away a few things this morning, and then as I'm installing to try to find a little clicker. Okay, there you go. Okay, so, all right, Lunar Library, hopefully that'll be back up and running soon. You guys know sermons online. If you ever miss a teaching, you can go to homefellowshipchurch.com and listen to that on audio. We will not be having a youth group, is that correct? This Wednesday, because we are having our youth camping trip. Joe, make sure you talk to me afterwards. So, yeah, woo-hoo! And so, that's going to be 15th, 16th, and 17th for most of us. Oscar Sheer State Park, and Josh and Amanda Panda and Anthony and Natalie are setting this thing up, so it should be a great time. It's not great if you have a really old body like mine. I remember last year, I don't know, it was like sub-zero conditions. I don't know. It was like sub-zero conditions. Not from Florida now. Anyway, but it was probably like 30 degrees.
That means the temperature was 69.
Yeah, whatever. Talk to the hand, Daryl. But anyway, that's this weekend. So if you want to go, please make sure you talk to Josh or Amanda Panda. And I got the number right, so you can call them now. Okay.
Cha-ching.
Okay, also this Thursday night, we're going to have a... There's so many things going on, and people are so busy and so crazy, and it's just wacky. So we're going to get together this Thursday instead of our normal barbecue Bible study, good save bar, and we're going to have a little Christmas party here. So we've got some honey-baked hams and things like that on the side, and we're just going to have a time of fellowship. So Uncle Tom setting that one up. And so this Thursday night, bring a white elephant gift and a side of dessert to share. And everybody knows what a white elephant gift is, right? Just like
a chief. Bring a white elephant, right?
Yeah, you bring a little gag gift or a little $5 gift or something like that, just for a gift exchange. That is going to be at 6 to 8 on Thursday, okay? All right. Also, if you guys may notice the table out up front, you guys, Shepherd's Heart Christian School, they're doing just a little fundraiser for stuff, and it's for some school trips. All the money is going. There's tie-dye shirts. There's tie-dye scarves. I saw one. Would you mind standing up? I know it's awkward. Little scars you can get. Thank you. Very nice. And there's also selling hot chocolates and things like that. And all the money is going to the fundraisers. The older kids this year are going to the Creation Museum. And so they're going to the Ark Encounter and also to the Creation Museum. And so all the money that's being raised is going towards that and also towards... Discovery Cove, the younger kids. This is just an amazing opportunity for the kids to learn. And they swim with stingrays and ball jokes, and it's a fantastic educational trip. Some of the kids will never probably go to see something like this, but it's amazing. And so, anyway, all money goes to that, so please feel free to buy a hot chocolate, buy a whatever, a shirt for somebody for Christmas, and that's where it's going. Okay, again, pray for the folks that have been baptized, and let's... start off, before we get into Colossians, George, would you mind starting us off? There's a little movie, you know, last week, so if we'll see if anybody came back. We talked about a lot about sexual immorality, things that we were going to put off, so I'm surprised if anybody came back. There's a few people that ran out of here. And, but, you know, everything that we said was true, and it was straight from the Word. And so God's kind of putting it out there for us, and we need to choose what we're going to do with it in our lives, right? And so I have to be faithful to preach what the Word says, right?
Yep.
Right? That's right. Just what it is. That's okay. You can give a yep. We're very yep. You can give a yep.
I'm going to see you play.
You can yep and an amen to that. So, anyway, what we're going to do here is we're going to play a short video, and it deals with some more difficult topics, but they're real topics, and they're true topics. And the Lord is probably might speak to you about some things. And when he speaks to you about things, you listen, and you obey, and you make the change. Don't harden your heart as they did in the rebellion. You know what I mean? In Israel, they hardened their heart. They said, oh, we don't want to listen to you. Don't do that. Open your heart, open your ears, open your spirit to whatever he's trying to tell you through this. And then we'll, because this takes a little bit of time, then we'll continue on a little bit more in the Word. So, George, without further ado, hopefully is this the right to, what, 20, I think it's about 20 minutes.
Checklist. But you see, God has warnings as well. Has God given you a warning? Even though everything feels fine.
We were in ministry. I was a Jesus girl. We were rock solid.
It was on Sunday mornings, really, that I felt most alive.
I felt like God played the biggest role in my success, but it wasn't entirely what it looked like.
You need to take sin seriously.
From the outside, it looked good. Except for the secret part that nobody knew about. One that carried, in my mind, no risk. Pornography hooked me deep.
Bob and I both loved that whole idea of doing anything for Jesus.
As a pastor, I saw this young man who just needed some guidance. So we invited him to be a part of our family activities.
I remember feeling so exhausted, so overwhelmed, and hiding that. And then this young guy starts coming into our life, and the first thing he says is, "Hey, can I help you?" And I was like, "Yes, thank you." But the more we hung out together, it turned into, you are so beautiful in every way. When I knew I was going to be seeing him, I made sure I looked good.
I wanted to feel loved and accepted fully. That's something that I hadn't had with my family or with the small town I was in. I remember posting on Facebook, "The Lord's my shepherd and he knows that I'm gay." And that was my way of saying that God knows me and accepts me and my sin.
People always ask me, how did I find track and field? I've been fast all my life. I remember being a kid and making my dad proud of me. It was one of the best feelings ever. So when I became famous in track, I asked God to help me win in any way possible. I come across a steroid that's undetectable. It had to be from God. When I was sinning, it didn't even feel like a sin. So me using drugs to affect me didn't feel like I was hurting nobody but me.
I felt like I was invincible. I thought I could have this guy flirting with me. Nothing would ever really happen. I recognized the warning signals, but part of me didn't even care because I was craving this so bad.
Tim McCurdy goes in lane 5. There he is.
Across the finish line, all I could think about was, thank you, Jesus.
Some people might not want to hear this, but I've got to tell you the truth. Many Christians in today's churches are in a spiritual fog, but they don't know it. They're being blinded by this godless, corrupt culture of tolerance and political correctness. As a pilot, you can end up in fog. You lose your orientation, and you just cannot trust your senses without trusting the instruments of your aircraft. You think that you're keeping it level, but you're in a serious dive. And you see, there's some of you here tonight that you've been flying through your life blind. Christians are trusting their feelings instead of trusting God's instrument for the direction in our lives, and that's His holy word, the Bible. This is God's word. This is our compass for life. If Jesus were to write you a letter, what would He say to you? Here's what He said to the church in Revelation. He said, "I've known your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you're dead."
Seatbelts.
Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die and repent.
Let us enter Fortune 4 Romeo.
Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. One who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction.
Sin destroys.
a sexual affair with this guy for 3 weeks. I knew that it couldn't continue. Because I just felt something in my heart say, you have to tell Bob. It was the most intense, scary, awful moment in the whole world. And I said, I did it. I had an affair.
So immediately, my mind is flooded. Images of her with this person. Where am I? Where were our children? This isn't just a little oops. You say that you love me, but yet you give yourself like this. It makes no sense. The rage and the anger that I had was so intense. I just stormed out of the room, slammed doors, stomped my feet. I mean, I was a mess.
Just when I didn't think the desperation could get any lower, I found out that as a result of this affair, I had become pregnant. And on that day, I didn't think I could face my life. I just felt like I had blown up my whole family.
Wake up before it's too late. Wake up. Sin destroys. Sin has to be confessed and dealt with.
Porn took me places I never thought I would go. Pornography groomed me, trained me, set me up. So one night I'm just driving along and I see a girl beside the road. I pull over and suddenly I'm picking up my first prostitute on my way to a Christmas Eve service.
If you're living in sin, you're going to suffer serious consequences and also those around you.
Then one night, my wife caught me. That hurt her.
Innocent family members and others get hurt.
She said, I'm done. She said, I still love you, but I don't like you. I don't trust you. I don't respect you. And I don't think you can ever change.
Even though I called myself a Christian, I was living in the LGBT lifestyle. My aunt asked me to be in a Bible study. So I was learning about the goodness of God and the holiness of God. And I was thinking about my identity. When I was looking at the scriptures, I realized I wasn't reading the Bible to understand what it said. I was cherry-picking verses. That's not Christianity at all. It was really a struggle in this flesh that didn't want to change. I was either going to accept this as truth, all of it, even the parts that I didn't like, or I was going to cast it all aside.
Everything that I thought I got away with came full circle. I got caught using steroids. I lost my records. I lost my sponsorships. Everything was gone. Overnight.
Many Christians think they're okay. Okay, well, maybe a little correction here or there, but I'm okay. Just a little bit of sin pulls you off just a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit, and you go further and further and further.
My father came to visit me in prison. And he saw me through the glass. And when I seen him cry, that's one of the worst feelings ever. I was a cheater. I was a liar. I didn't know what to say to God. I just knew I had to go to Jesus to confess and to repent.
When I actually opened scripture to understand what it said about my lifestyle, I never felt so much conviction and weight and guilt for sin, and so much love and forgiveness and grace at the same time. I understood I was guilty, and I knew I needed forgiveness, so I clung to Him. I didn't want my sin anymore. I knew I had to forsake it. I had to be fully surrendered and repent.
Jesus Christ died and shed His blood on the cross for all of our sins. And you've got to be willing to confess it and repent. Have you confessed your sin? Well, that's what I'm asking you to do tonight, is turn around. Your sins will be removed. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west, there's hope. Come back to your Father in heaven tonight.
I knew what I had to do and I dreaded it. But I confessed everything. Asked other people for help. Surrendered to a Christian recovery program. They made me understand that I could only experience healing to the depth that I'm willing to confess and repent.
The Bible says, "Yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and with mourning. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding steadfast in love."
I cried out to God, "Will you forgive me?" And then I went to Bob and I said, "Could you ever find it in your heart to love me again?"
I knew that in that moment I had to forgive her. But I was only capable of so much. But we together chose to press in, you know, to each other, but really into God. Because we were hoping that He could rescue not just us, but rescue our family and my children. When he was born, I asked Audrey if I could name him. I gave him my name, Robert. I don't want my son to ever question one day in his life whose boy he is. He's my son now.
The fact that he has his name just as that complete acceptance is such a picture of what God does for us. Not only does He accept us, not only does He forgive us, but He gives us His name and He redeems our life from what was supposed to be stolen and taken away. He gives us as a gift. And you know what? There's really a revival after repentance.
I thought that I would be disqualified from any useful work in ministry if anybody ever found out what I had done.
God has allowed me to coach kids. I'm not just sharing what I've been taught under the track. I'm sharing what Christ has taught me.
This is what I get to do now. I get to pull other guys out of the soup the way God pulled me out of the soup. And it's a great joy to just participate in it. My wife and I are closer than we've ever been. She didn't tell me until just a few years ago that every night after I fell asleep, she would put her hand on my chest and pray for me, that God would make me into the man that I was supposed to be. I know God heard those prayers.
My eyes were open to see God is worth it. The Lord gave me a wonderful husband who loves me and who loves God and who can serve alongside me.
When you participate with sin, it always takes. But when you participate with God, He always gives life.
That's something to think about, isn't it? So that the youth club, Mark, and somebody else brought it up, and the Lord said, "I was thinking, I wonder if I should show that to God." And then somebody else that brought it up. Is it okay, Lord? Any thoughts? If not, that's okay too. It's a lot of deep thoughts. Yes, Elijah, can you bring the microphone? Thanks, sweetie.
Well, I'm just so surprised that many of the people there, you know, are mostly going off of their feelings since they're really trusting in the Lord and using, you know, the Bible as their compass.
You know what? That's a good word. Can I just be blunt honest with you? That's what most Christians do. They go off their feelings. They go off what they think instead of going off what the Word says. That's why it's so important. I know I sound like a broken record. It's so important to get that Word in you. Not just for knowledge's sake, right? But down deep in your hearts, right? So it becomes a part of who you are, right? All that stuff. All through who you are, not in a legalistic way, but so that God's word can penetrate every area of your heart and life. Does that make sense? We've got enough folks crashing, right? And if you're... Okay. I'll just leave it at that. It's a good word. Anybody else? Yes.
They all thought their sin wouldn't hurt anybody else. And that's huge. And it's, well, the things that we don't think about. And it does affect people, because if it's affecting our personal walk, then we're not able to reach as many people either.
Yes. Yeah. That's a good word. That's a good word. We always think, God knows. And it does affect us. That sin does kill, whether it's in me or you, or if you walk with the Lord for 2 weeks now, or 2 months, or 2 years, or 20 years, or 200 years. It affects those around us. Good. Anything else? Anyone else?
Another thing about the pilots and how they ignored the warning signs.
Yeah.
If he's telling you to pull up, you should listen to it. Before you turned it off.
Yes.
And he ignored the iPad that told him what the weather was going to be like. He just ignored it.
Yes.
If you just listen to him.
Yes.
It'll be fine.
Yes. It's such a good word, but you know, honestly, this is about 20 years of full-time ministry, and people, they don't even realize it. It's almost like it's. Sometimes when you're looking at it, you sometimes just want to... Sometimes it gets so depressing, because you're like, oh my gosh, they don't even realize it. And sometimes you just want to scream, like, wake up! You know? But that's what happens. The Holy Spirit is nudging your heart, saying, I know you need to get this, you need to stop, you need to turn around, you need to repent, you need to put this off, put this on. He's telling you. The Word is telling you clearly. Or maybe you've got a brother or sister who's been nice enough to point you in the right direction. But sometimes we just want what we want more than what God is trying to tell us. And it will always end in a crash. Just like that guy who broke the world record, right? He was praising the Lord, right? But he lied, he cheated, he did everything. And so what ended up happening?
He lost everything. World record.
Lost everything. Yeah. Until he turned around. So God is speaking things to you. Right? He's trying to get you to listen to them. You have a choice. I have a choice. It's good work. Anything else? Anyone else? Yes.
Look at the beauty of what happened. How God was able to change when people did turn around, then what he took and made of those ashes.
Beautiful. awe-inspiring, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Word. God is willing for us to turn. He just wants you to turn. Come to Him. Yes, Daryl, good word. Sorry.
And this is something that I realized from the pilot. In aviation, there are rules you fly by. One of those is called VFR, visual flight rules, what you see outside the cockpit, your surroundings and everything. The other one is IFR, instrument flight rules. That's when you're in bad weather, you depend on your instruments. You block out everything that's going on outside you and you follow your instruments. And that's like the Bible, okay? When we are sinning, we're going by visual. You know, our surroundings, our environment, things and circumstances. We're not paying attention to our instrument, the Bible. So when we start sinning in everything, we're not looking down at our instrument, which is the Bible, and reading that. And depending on that is our guidance.
Yes. And it's too easy to say, well, it's just this, it's just that, right? But almost like, I don't know if you notice, I notice like little facial expressions. I don't know why. God's made me just really observant to those things. So even just, you guys might have noticed it too, when you just a little like, oh yeah, I know it looks like a storm. He's just like, just a little, yeah. As he tossed it, you know, I don't know if you noticed it, he's like,
no big deal.
But, yeah. Yes, go ahead, right there.
What I've seen is a lot of communication, not only with themselves, but in like in a spiritual realm. You know, if you put God first, you can't go wrong. And if then people would have just put Him first instead of, or communicated with each other first,
yeah.
Especially the people who had were cheating on each other. You know, if they would have took the time and talked to each other and put God in the mix of that, probably wouldn't have ever got that far.
Agreed.
From what I've learned, as long as you put God first, you can't go wrong. So, and as long as you're communicating with Him and your spouse, you know, that's
that's where you start. Seek Him first, His kingdom. Anybody else? Before I let Elijah get to speak twice, then there's a penalty. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Okay, Elijah, you get the last. You get the last word.
So better be good.
I'm just kidding. Last one really good.
What I thought was most strong was, you know, on the plane when it crashed, how, you know, depressed the pilot was and how crippled he was on the inside of what he did.
Yeah.
Like kind of the picture sin does when it finally hits the top, in other words, like, okay, fine, and it hits, it hurts everybody around you,
yeah.
And yourself. It just really, really stood out to me.
Yeah, it does leave a lot of death and destruction. That's an awesome word. Okay, good. It's a good word. Well, we are in Colossians chapter 3, and we don't have tons of time, but we're going to get into His word, because His word will not return void. So, if everybody would open their Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, Chris, there's a stack over here if you would. One will be provided for you. As you're turning to Colossians 3, as I'm finding my Bible, it's talking to us about putting off things in our life. Colossians 3 is talking about this is not our home. We're talking about the resurrected life, putting off the things, taking off the sinful, dirty clothes, the stuff, the habits that we formed over years, and 20, 30 years. This is just how I talk. This is just how I walk. This is just what I watch. This is just what I listen to. This is just how I think. This is just how I was raised. This is just how I would blank. You fill in the blank. We all have this stuff, right? This is just what I was experiencing. This is just what was done to me. This is just what was... The Lord isn't about, this is just blah. He wants to take that old junk and throw it out the door. Okay. We talked about sexual intimacy as it being a gift from God. He was saying to put off some of those things, you know. And talked about... Did some of these really quickly, just so I can get to my. All right. how sexual immorality is such a big thing in our church. You know, God wants us to run from it. You are now a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're His sanctuary. Listen, it's almost like the Lord was trying to show you how much He loves you by, instead of dwelling in the temple, you know, like in the Old Testament, He wants to be so close to you. He wants to be with you. He wants to be in you so that He can be with you all the time. You're His sanctuary. So in other words, people are going to go to you and they want to see Christ. They don't want to see you. They want to see the Lord in you. Okay. We talked about lust. We talked about making a covenant with our eyes, not to look lust. We talked about greed and covetousness. We talked all about that. So I'm going to scroll through some of those things. We talked about just rejecting, shaking your fist at God. You know, are you ready? You know, we talked about anger. He told us to put off certain things. Put off anger. Right, orge, that simmering, that boiling, just right before the boil. You're just always angry, ready to blow, right? Around the house or around the work or at school, you're just ready. You're just always just angry, always angry. You know, He's like, put that off you. You know, He talked about, you know, because a man's anger does not produce the righteous life that God desires. You know, that thumos says, put off rage. Get rid of that. That rage in the cage. You know, sometimes people will say to me, you know, that thumos, that rage, you know, where it's like, the Greek word's like an exploding volcano. Well, you know, this is what, now, sometimes girls will do this, sometimes guys will do this. So, you know, but, okay, so, you know, this rage, well, I only get mad just for a few seconds. Right? So like, oh, it's okay, you know. Again, it's okay to be angry, you know. It's okay, but it's not okay for you to do the whole, you know what I'm saying? You know, that's not okay. Whether you're a woman or a man or whatever, that's not okay. That doesn't bring about the righteous life God desires, and that's what He's saying. It looks, it only lasts a minute, so it's not really a big thing. I don't do it all the time. I'm not that simmering guy. I'm not that angry guy, right? So I'm okay. No, God's saying, no, if you're doing this too, explodes and then you simmer back down. That's not okay. That's what God's saying. I want that out of your life. Hey, listen, I only get mad for a minute. Do you know how long it took to drop that atomic bomb on Hiroshima? By a minute.
Hiroshima.
Destroyed a lot of lives, didn't it? Somebody shoots you with a bullet. That only takes a few seconds. What's the big deal? Just a few seconds, right? Am I right? Beep, beep. Warning, warning. The Lord's saying, put that off of you. Cut it out. Shut your mouth. Change your thinking. Put it off. You know, and then now we're talking about slander. I think we talked about that. All right. We talked about, you know, God says in the word in Colossians. Let's go. Let me get that open for just a second. Sorry, just a second. But in Colossians chapter 3, Bible open here. The pages are falling apart. Colossians chapter 3. In verse 8, he said, but now that you're a believer, whatever, you must rid yourself of these things, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, you know, stuff that tears people down. You know, there's enough people out there, just your mouth. Sometimes you need to just keep it quiet. You cast that on the Lord. You go do whatever you need to do. But man, you know that little saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can never hurt me? Liar! I get beat down all the time by people's words. And you know what? Who I've been beat by most? Christians. They can say some of the cruelest, dumbest things. They think they're all self-righteous, or, well, I'm just going to tell you the truth, and hey, I had a whole list of things, of stuff some people told me this week. And I said, I'm just going to share, just to share. But then the Lord just said no. So, but anyway, don't use foul and abusive language. Let everything you say be good for helpful for building up others according to your needs. That's what Ephesians 4:29 says. You know, here's the thing. You know, for out of the overflow of the heart, our mouths are going to speak. So what are you putting in? Where are you going to? You know, this little cartoon's really cute. You know, it shows one person getting, you know, all this stuff, mining it from the world. He says, I don't get it. All I ever find is garbage while you keep coming up with pure gold. But he's going to the wrong movies. He's going to websites. He's going to the music and the culture. And he's going and he's like, I don't know why I'm speaking like this and acting like this. I'm just around these people and that's what we do. And the other person's like, he's mining from the Word of God. He's washing it. It says the Bible says to wash yourself with the water of the Word. Get that dirt off of you. Renew your mind. Okay? If we're born again, this is God's given you a special gift. If you've received Him, if you've turned away from the world, you turned to Him, you've asked Him to be your Lord and Savior, He's a supernatural change has taken place, and He's going to clean you up from the inside out. You've been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. He wants you to be a witness for Him. Your new life is going to last forever, from now into eternity, because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. That's what 1 Peter 1:23 says. You've been born again. He wants us to put off the old self, you know, which belongs to your old manner of life, and put on the new self, you know, which is created in the likeness of God. That's what Ephesians 4:22-24 says. You know, it goes on in the next verse that we're going to cover. You know, it says, he's still talking about stuff we need to put off in our life. He says this, all right, verse 9, everybody there? It says, do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off or put off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. And so here, what he's saying is, I don't want you to lie. Put off lying from your life. Listen, if you're in the world, that's what you do. I would lie 50 times a day without thinking twice. I would lie, manipulate. That's just how, that was standard mode of operation, right? God's like, I want that so far gone from your life as a Christian. But I see Christians lying all the time. It's almost like lying's one of these, oh, let's just put it under this here blanket. Let's not worry about that little lie. You know, he's a good teacher, so we'll just let him lie all he wants. That's okay. Oh, they give a lot of money. Let's just sweep that under the rug here. They give a lot of money. They do a lot of stuff for the church. Who cares if the... Oh, it's just a little lie, right? There's white lies. Oh, I'm not actually technically lying. I'm just holding back the truth so that you think something different. You know what that is? It's a lie. Let's be honest. This is serious stuff, guys. As a Christian, I want you to understand this because it's almost like we put up with this stuff. And God does not like it. It's serious stuff. Hit the lights. Here's what Proverbs 19:5 says. A false witness will not go unpunished, nor will a liar escape. Hello. Is lying a big deal to you, Christian? He's just saying, is it?
Yeah.
It should be. Listen, there's things that God hates. You're going to notice... For me, I noticed two things. One is I noticed that there were a lot of things that weren't on this list that God hates. Do you know what I mean? Like, I thought of a lot of things that our Christian churches say that God hates, and it's not this. Here's what he says. This is in, I didn't even write it on here. Proverbs, yeah, 6:16-19. He says there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are abomination to him. Here's what it says. Haughty eyes. That's pride, right? Number one on his list is your pride. My pride. He says number two is a lying tongue. God says he hates that. That's pretty strong, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about a God who, he is love. But he's saying, I hate this in your life. Wow. He says, hands that shed innocent blood, hearts that devises wicked schemes, feet that rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among the brothers. You notice the only thing that I notice, even in the six things that the Lord hates, or the seven things that are abomination to him, the only thing I notice that's there twice?
I think we all know how bad we feel when someone lies to us that we trust.
Yes. Do you know, that's a good point, Chris. Do you know that you can grieve the Holy Spirit of God? When you lie, you grieve God's heart. Because it's the opposite of who he is. Do you realize that? I want you to understand. You know, this is serious. Lying is serious, especially if you're a born-again believer. That's why he wants it off your lips, out of your life. Listen to this. Revelation to Christians, like, oh, what's the big deal? You know, whatever. Revelation 21, 7 to 8 says, after Jesus saying, all these great things are going to happen to you. You know, verse 7 says, all who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, right? At the end of the book of Revelation. Woohoo! And I will be their God, and they will be my children. Oh, that sounds fantastic. I am a friend of God. Praise the Lord. Wow! But then he goes on to say, but here we go. The cowards, those who are not going to stand up for the faith in Jesus Christ, or for the word of God, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the sexually immoral. Oh, how did that get in there? Those who practice witchcraft, another biggie, idol worshippers, and if that's your practice, something is wrong in your heart. You've got to get rid of it. And what is their fate? You tell me what it says. Their fate is what? In the fiery lake of burning sulfur. It's a serious issue. I just, you know, hey, I have to lie a little bit for business. You understand that, don't you? Right? Oh, I got to lie a little bit to my wife, otherwise, you know, she's going to be all over my case. You know, I have to lie to my husband, otherwise he'll know how much I'm, you know, get mad at me, he'll cause a fight between us. I have to lie to my kids because I don't want, I have to lie at work, I have to lie at school because I'll tell them I'm doing the work, but I'm really not doing it. I have to stop. Hello. Listen to this. When Jesus was talking to all these Sadducees and Pharisees, man, they were the religious leaders of the day. They were hypocrites. And he said to them, he goes to them, listen, you guys are all spiritual. Oh, you're Christian. I'm Christian, right? I just lie a lot. It's okay. Jesus said to them, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. But listen to this, there's no truth in him. When he lies, it says he speaks his native language. Listen, lies, that's the native language. It says he is a liar and he's the father of lies. So when you lie, that's the native language, that's of hell, of Satan, is lying, is deceiving. When you're doing that, you're speaking Satan's language. Now, if he is the father of lies, who's the father of truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the
truth.
So when you are telling the truth, who are you indeed honoring?
Jesus.
And when you are choosing to go with your flesh, who are you honoring? Whose father?
Father.
Think about that. Okay, so I'm thinking by like next week that nobody will show, there'll be like two people there. But this is what the word says, right? Somebody, we gotta hear it. Okay? I gotta hear it. This is one of my favorite verses, and here's the reason why. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm the biggest liar I feel like on the planet. That's probably why. But I was certainly up there. So this is important to me because God had to do a lot of work to get all this junk out of me. Yes, Susan.
In my job, there are certain rules. And, you know, when I started working here, I decided that I was always going to, whether I was in trouble or not, I was going to say yes, I did it, or no, I didn't. And it's reaped benefits for me because now if they come to me and say, did you do that? And all I have to do is say, no, I didn't do that. They're like, okay.
Yes.
You know, so there's...
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? If you continue to lie, you're going to get caught in lying.
Yeah.
If somebody comes to you and says, did you do this? And you say, no, I would never do that. They're like, okay. And they go right on.
Well, here, that's a good word. And here's what God's trying to do. See, if you're a person of truth, even if you tell them something, if you tell them about this Jesus, and they don't even want to hear about this Jesus, they think, you know what? But I know her to be a woman of truth. I know that she admits it even when she's wrong. I know that he's truthful even when he gets in trouble. So I know I need to listen to them. You see what I'm saying? But it says the Lord detests lying lips. Boy, but he also delights in those who tell us the truth. And God wants to be wants you to be the kind of girl that he delights in, the kind of boy that he, man, God, you, I, my heart rejoices in you for telling the truth. Heidi.
I went to the dentist last week, or the week before, and he said, okay, I need you to have this tooth pulled, and you're going to have to go to another person to get that done. And he doesn't see things eye to eye like I do.
Yes.
So he said, here's what you're going to have to say.
Yeah.
And it's like, he was telling me to lie.
Yeah. But that's common in the world.
And I was not about to do that.
Yeah. But I'm saying.
So I went to the other person, but I did not lie. I told him the truth.
Now sometimes, can I just be blunt honest? Here's what I'd like to tell you. I'd like to tell you when you tell the truth, everything comes out rosy, and you become the hero, and you win the day. Can I just be blunt and honest? The world doesn't like you to tell the truth.
You know, I think, too, you should, somebody's asking you to lie. You say, well, why do you want me to lie? See what they have to say.
No, I'm not saying lie. I just mean, you know.
Yeah.
Put
the monkey on their back.
Yes, that's a good point. Yes, Carrie.
Okay, years ago, when God really spoke to my heart about lying, my lying, I didn't think was bad. I just told people things that made them happy. And God told me I couldn't do that anymore. So when family members would want to talk about something that I didn't want to talk about, I would just tell them, this is not something I am going to talk about with you.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to lie.
That's
okay. I
didn't
have to say anything.
Yes.
I chose not
I'm uncomfortable
to talk with you.
That,
and it took them a few years to catch on. But eventually they understood that I couldn't lie anymore. Because it wasn't anything that hurt people. But it didn't make him happy either, because no lie can make someone happy. So he just showed me every lie is a bad lie. It's just not what we do. It's just we don't build ourselves up in him
by doing
those things.
From that Amen? Yes, Elijah, you had something? This is the third time. Now it's going to cost you.
I'm saying is, you know, the world's all big on lies.
Yeah.
Of course it is. I mean, it's all on the network. Like, I remember one time my little most priority, you know, was watching a little kid's show that was supposed to be an education, you know. They said, no, it's okay to lie. It's called white lie. It's not really that bad to be lying for a good reason. In a kid's show. For little kids. For 5-year-olds.
To be honest, one of my heroes, this is a sad thing. I'm just saying, the influence of the world. One of my heroes was, I'm embarrassed to say this, I didn't get saved till 30, so some of you guys know this. Ferris Bueller.
Who?
Ferris Bueller.
Who?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
So, you remember, he was a great liar and a great deceiver, and he manipulated everybody, and I thought, he gets what he wants. That's who I'm going to be. Yes. Okay. Sorry. You thought you were done that late. Yes. But that doesn't honor the Lord, does it? So in Christ, I can't be that anymore.
Yeah. She was talking about going to the dentist. It was so ironic because I was in a car accident, and really nothing was wrong with me. I didn't feel bad or anything like that. But of course, immediately they want you to go see a doctor. They want you to do this. Well, the doctor writes me out this prescription and tells me literally not just the way to talk to get this prescription, because they're profiling me at the pharmacy, but tells me to go home and change my shirt, take off my rings, and don't look so damn happy. Excuse me. That's what he said.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought to myself, I was nervous just to go to get a prescription that was legally given to me.
Yes.
I'm shaking like a leaf. I'm looking like this.
Yes.
And I felt so bad because I don't feel as bad as what you're trying to make me sound like.
Yeah.
Only because it's going through insurance and stuff.
Yes.
And I said, I'm not lying, that I'm all messed up and stuff, because I'm not.
Right.
You know, so that is really has come to an end, because I told him, I said, I am not going to pretend like something's wrong, nothing's wrong. Because down the line, it is going to get paid back.
Well, even more so than all that, it's to honor, you know what, and this is our mindset. It all comes back to what honors the Lord. That's where our minds need to be. What honors you, Jesus? Right? That's what we want to do. It says, listen, instead of lying, he says, speak the truth in love. That's what Ephesians 4:15 says. And as we're speaking the truth in love, right, that means we're going to take extra knots. But it says that we're going to grow up in every way into him who is the head, that is Christ. We're going to grow up as we speak the truth. You know, and it says in there, in that next verse, it says, in verse 10, it says, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, in the image of its creator. And it goes on to say in verse 11, it says, here, in Christ Jesus, here, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Listen, one thing we have to remember, okay, as you're putting off all this stuff, he's saying, I want you to put off whatever, racism. I want you to put it off. If you're a Christian, you are in Christ Jesus. That's who you are, right? You're not a New Yorker anymore. You know what I'm saying? You're not an American. You know, you're not black or white, Asian, Filipino. You're not Jew, Arab, Palestinian. You are one in Christ Jesus. Listen, the Bible says God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God created them, male and female. That's his only distinction. Even that's being distorted nowadays. Well, if you feel like a male today, that's nice. What? You feel it? Listen, there should be no racism. Okay? And I understand a lot of you have had a lot of bad stuff in you. I remember talking to a guy last year who was telling me, in the church, they taught him to be a racist. Using the Bible. He said, I didn't know it said all this stuff. Yeah. There should be no racism. There should be no Jew or Gentile. You know, there are folks, a lot of folks out there that hate the Jews. You know, all the time. The anti-Semitism, listen, if you're a Christian, that should not be. Now, I'm not saying maybe you've had some terrible experience with Jews. Okay? Put that off. Well, you don't understand how I feel against white people. Put that off. Well, you know, the Asians, you know, that's another story. They're not, put that off. But black people, put that off. We are one in Christ. We have different melanin in our skin. Listen, well, you're white. No, this paper is white. You know what I'm saying? I'm not this paper. Well, some of you maybe. But do you know what I'm saying? And let me tell you, what race are we? Who do we come from? What? We're the human race. Who do we come from?
Also,
is it for you to say?
Paul. You know, Paul was like saying, I had run the good race, you know,
yes.
Like that. Like, we were all in the same race. You know, it's not like, you know, you all can just do that, but, you know, let's just say, you know, like, Asian people, we don't have to do that, you know, so, like, we're all in the same race.
Right, exactly. Listen, there is no Jew, there's no Gentile, you know, there's no whatever. Guys, that racism, whether it's against Jews or Gentiles or Arabs or black or white, or even, that shouldn't be. Some of my best friends, you know what, are black. Does that bother you? It should not. We all come from the Adamic race, don't we? We're from Adam and Eve, right? If you believe the Bible. So take that, whatever you were taught, whatever your history, whatever you've grown up with, put that out as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. You know what? They're all, you're in God's family now. Right? Listen to this. It goes on to say there's no circumcised or uncircumcised, and that's just like, you know, I don't know, religious culture or whatever. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, this person wants to wear suits to their church, let them wear suits, wonderful. Don't look down on that. If somebody wants to come in here in a suit, wonderful. Just because we dress down, though, don't look down at us. Because man looks at the outside appearance, but God is looking at the heart. If you want to dress up for the Lord, dress up. You want to dress down? Dress down. But God is interested in your heart. He says, barbarian or Scythian. Listen, anything. The Greeks considered anybody who wasn't, like, educated, like, low class. You know, they couldn't speak Greek. They were a barbarian. And Astyvian was like, that was like a particularly, like, super bad barbarian. They were like the worst barbarians. So it's like, he's almost saying, no matter what, or slave or free, it's like he's saying, you know, whatever your social class is, you know, there isn't any social class before the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all one in Jesus. That means if you're rich, Jesus loves you, and you're born again a believer, don't be looking down upon them. If you're poor, Jesus loves them. You know, there shouldn't be any, you know, upper class, middle class, working class, lower class, white collar, blue collar, whatever you want to say, we are all one in Christ Jesus. Put all that distinction out of your mind, out of your heart. Throw it away. Take out the trash, baby. We are one in Jesus Christ. Goes on to say, this will be the last verse I go into, and we'll be this will end with this verse. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, this is verse 12 now. Maybe I even have this up here. It says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And here's the bottom line. First, it says, you're chosen by God. Listen. That's amazing to me. The creator of the entire universe chose you. Mm-hmm. Chose me? Are you kidding me? You know what a pig I was? Mm-hmm. That's amazing to me. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You. Not any other nation. You, Christian. God's special possession. That you, he calls you a special possession. You're his. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That God may, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. You are chosen by God. But you're not only chosen, but it says that you're also, it says you're holy. And holy just means set apart for special use. Listen, holy is not like, you know, we make statues. It just means you're set apart for special use. And the illustration I came up with, that I read was, you know, what we had a marriage here, right, with the couple, right? They got married a few weeks back, right? And they decided, you know what? We're going to get married. We're going to say no to any other relationships in my life, right? I'm not going to be, and I want to be together with this person for the rest of my life, right? I'm separating myself through marriage for the special relationship. In the same way, if you are a Christian, you are separating yourself for God's use, right? You're not going to look like the world. You shouldn't sound like the world, right? I'm not saying be all self-righteous and snotty about it, but we're not supposed to look like them. That means people are going to resent you a little bit. That stinks. I don't like how you think. I don't understand it. They're going to resent you. They're going to get mad at you. The world hates that. But you're set apart. Just like salvation sets you apart as a believer for God's purposes. You know, but imagine, if you will, if, I don't, maybe she means put this in your head, don't really tell me not to, but let's imagine a couple that got married, right? I'm setting myself apart for this man and this woman, and then the guy or the girl goes and says, hey, you know, I like the groomsman. I'm going to go off with him. Like, are you kidding me? You just got married. Wouldn't that be bizarre? Be a Hollywood movie, sure. They'd be crazy to be like that. Anyway, okay. But the bottom line is, right, it would be bizarre to people. In the same way, you're set apart for the Lord's use. Don't go back to the world's stuff. Does that make sense? It says you're holy, you're separate, you're set apart, you're chosen. But it also says, this is so cool, you're dearly loved. 1 John 3:1 says, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us. Even while you were a sinner, he died for you. Drowning in your sin, he lavished it on us. And I don't know, you know, I can't, that you should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And the reason why the world doesn't know us is it didn't know him. When I think of lavish, I sadly think of desserts. I know, I'm an eater, okay? So I picture a big banana split, okay? And you know when you go to these places, they give you like, Now, no, I just picture somebody just taking, I want you to squeeze that baby. You know, I want it poured over the ice cream and over the vanilla and the chocolate and the bananas. I want it to smother in it. That's God's love lavished on you. That's what it is. And he says, I want you to be kind and compassionate to one another. And these are all how we're to treat others. He says, I want you to put off the old, right, and put on the new. Okay? Now, here's how I want you to be. Because it's your Christian life is more about don't do this, don't do that, put off this, put off that, right? I don't put kittens in microwaves. I don't shove out puff jug tails. That's not what I'm about, just what I don't do. Tell me what you do do. Right? And as a Christian, don't just tell me what you don't do. I don't drink, don't smoke. What do you do? I want to know, as a Christian, what you do. Because that's going to define who you are. Right? And so he's saying, this is what I want you to do. He says, and we have different translations that say different things, but he says, clothe yourselves is the first thing he says. So that tells me that you have a choice to make. You can put on these new clothes, clothe yourselves, it says. You have a choice. You can do it or not. It's your choice. Choose to put this on in your life. He starts off, he says, I want you to choose, I want you to put on, the first thing he says is compassion. And then he says kindness. You know? And it all has to do with how we relate to other people. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, I want you to be kind and compassionate to one another. If you want to minister to other people like Jesus, it's not clinical, it's relational. Does that make sense? The Lord's telling me to stop here. Okay, it's really difficult for me, but it has been an hour. There's so much more, but I'm going to stop because he's telling me to. So he has a purpose for it. I got some really good slides. And I'm so excited to talk about what God has. But even if you just think about this, you're chosen. You're set apart. I'm just going to go back one. You know, he's telling you to take off some things in your life, right? Here's the old man. No jokes, please. Okay. You're not getting the mic for a second, but you'll be okay. You will survive. Okay, here's the old man. Okay?
It's a little dark.
I drive.
I'm taking it off. Okay? This is my old lifestyle. These are my old habits, my old ways of thinking, my old actions. I'm taking that and I'm putting it off. Right? And just the last thing here, like this, he's saying, I want you to put on these things, and we'll get into them next week. I want you to put on the new clothes, if you will. And it'll be distinguishable. This, my friends.
He's turning into
an issue. When you put on new clothes, right? It's going to tell people something. Okay, now I got this raincoat, right?
Yeah, don't like the rain.
You sure you're not fishing?
Well, you guys immediately thought of this. I didn't say it was maybe. I just like, you guys are saying, hey, it's about rain. It's about this and that, right? I look different. What I wear says something about me, right? It's saying that it's going to rain. It's saying it's going to fish. I'm whatever. I look different, don't I?
Mm-hmm.
For a purpose. God is saying, I want you to now look different for a purpose. People will recognize it as you learn, as you start to put these things off in your life, one by one. And as you do it, he'll empower you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, Gary did a really wonderful thing on sexual immorality and addiction and stuff like that. Not too long ago, teaching. But the bottom line is, here's the deal. What you don't understand, Darren, I've had this habit for so long. You don't understand, Pastor Darren, I've done this thing for so long. You know, I've had this way of thinking. Okay, what do I do? It on. If I can't, I don't know how. So, listen, if you came in and you said, I have this jacket on. Pastor Darren, what do? Why do I need to get it off me? Or I'd be like, just take it off. And as you do that, the Lord will empower you to do it. As you choose to obey him, It'll give you the power. But you don't understand. I've really become attached to this jacket. I'm used to wearing it all the time. I like it. It's my comfort zone. I have to wear it. It's, you know, it's been on so whatever. It's part of who I am. And just take it off. What? Blah, 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 blah. Take it off. What? Just take the dang thing off. If you are in Christ, and again, if you're not born again, you're going to have a double of a time trying to do this. We won't be able to. But if you're born again, the Holy Spirit will give you the power as you choose to trust in Him to take off that sin in your life. So right now, in Jesus' name, whatever the Lord's bringing to mind for you, the lying, the anger, the pornography, the violent, the rage, the whatever it is, right? The condescending pride, the haughty spirit, whatever it is, put it off and say, in Jesus' name, I take that off. And then the next situation comes around, you choose to put that thing off. Put on humility instead of pride. Put off the pride. Put on humility. Put off the lying. Put on the truth. That's how we do it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Let's pray. Oh yeah, I forgot I had the headphones off. Sorry. Let's pray. Father, we just want to say thank you for who you are, Lord God. We thank you that your Holy Spirit gives us the power to put these habits and things that we've gotten used to and grown numb to and cold to out of our lives, Lord. That you've given us the power. We thank you that we have your word as the instrument pattern, Lord. So I pray that we don't go off what other people think or our church or our friends or whatever. We go to what you say, Lord. What does your word say about these things, Lord? Because we want to please you. And that would be our thought, Lord. What does your word say? Not that we can manipulate the word or cherry pick it to get to what we want it to say, but what does it really say? What's the heart intent here, Lord? And that we would obey you fully, Lord God. And even if the world doesn't recognize us, Lord, we know you recognize. And you love us. And so we pray for your peace. We pray for your prosperity, Lord God, in our hearts and minds. And we pray for your purpose, Lord, in this earth. Because you're not near done with us yet. You've got a lot for us to do. So help us to notice those warning lights when they're going off, Lord. And to pull up and pull out of that, Lord. Crash. To not let that sin overtake us, Lord. But to trust you in all things, Lord. We would give glory to your name by the life that we live, by the words that we speak, by the actions that we take. And we ask for this in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great night, and Lord willing, we will see you on Thursday.